Well, as we get towards the end of the year, we're joined by Brett Hansen from Blevins Franks. How are you, Brett?
I'm good, thanks. I'm looking forward to Christmas, Howard.
Yes, I'm sure. Well, Christmas is now just around the corner, and since these weekly discussions are taking a two-week break over the holidays, this week Brett and I are going to take a look back over our shoulders at the financial news and developments of 2023, and I might even ask him to look into his crystal ball to what 2024 may bring. So, starting with taxation, have there been any significant changes in Spain this year?
Well, at the state level, Howard, there weren't any significant changes to taxation in Spain this year. At the end of last year, we did see the introduction of the solidarity tax, which was brought in centrally after a number of regions across Spain abolished wealth tax. But this tax, which in effect is a wealth tax that the autonomous regions cannot get rid of, and was payable at the beginning of this year for assets held as at the 31st December of last year, does not affect too many people, because it will typically only impact someone who has assets of more than 4 million euros. At the regional level, though, there has been some changes this year, particularly in the Valencian, Balearic and Canary regions of Spain, where the Spanish succession tax payable on assets left to a surviving spouse, children or grandchildren have significantly reduced. So, just as a quick reminder on Spanish succession tax, Howard, this tax is payable if, one, either an asset being gifted or inherited is a Spanish asset, regardless of where the beneficiary lives, or two, if the recipient of a gift or inheritance is a resident of Spain, irrespective of where the asset is located. And unlike in the UK, at the state level, this tax does apply to married couples who leave assets to each other, and the allowance before the tax is payable is very low, at around 16,000 euros. The good news, though, is that the 17 autonomous regions of Spain do have the ability to increase the allowances and reduce the taxes. And in the autonomous region of Valencia, where I live, a 99% reduction in the succession tax liability for both Group 1 and Group 2 beneficiaries was introduced this year, i.e. for any inheritances or gifts received by children, grandchildren, parents, but probably of most significance to listeners is spouses. In the Balearics, this year saw the introduction of a 100% reduction in the succession or gift tax liability for beneficiaries in Groups 1 and Groups 2. So, as already covered, Howard, this includes where assets pass to spouses, children and grandchildren. And there are some reductions also applicable to Group 3 beneficiaries, but these reductions are lower, though still better than before. In the Canary Islands, the succession tax liability was reduced by 99.9% for inheritances received by Group 1, Group 2 and Group 3 beneficiaries. In effect, no tax will arise for these beneficiaries. The same 99.9% reduction also applies for lifetime gifts, but only for Group 1 and Group 2 beneficiaries. So Howard, some quite beneficial changes there with regards to Spanish inheritance tax in some of the regions our listeners are living in or own property in.
So what about in the UK?
Well, for any listeners who keep a keen interest on changes to UK pensions, the Autumn Finance Bill from a few weeks ago abolished the lifetime allowance charge. And for those listeners who are not familiar with this, the lifetime allowance is the limit on how much someone can build up in pension benefits over their lifetime while still enjoying the full tax benefits. And in previous years, if you had built up pension benefits over this allowance, which was just over £1 million, then you would have paid a lifetime allowance charge on any pension savings over this amount. So if you took this excess as a lump sum, it would be taxed at 55%. And if you took the excess as an income, there was an immediate 25% tax charge on top of any income tax payable on the income. But the Autumn Finance Bill abolished this charge. But the bill also introduced three new rules relating to pensions, which complicates matters further. First of all, the 25% pension cash lump sum, which is tax-free for UK tax residents, but taxable in Spain for Spanish residents, will be limited to just over £268,000 as a tax-free cash lump sum. The bill also introduced a lump sum and death benefit allowance where, when someone dies, leaving their pension funds to someone else, and the death benefit is paid as a lump sum, it will only be tax-free if it falls below the amount of £1 million. Any excess will be taxable at the beneficiary's marginal rate of income tax. And if the pension fund is designated to draw down within 2 years of the death, and the death occurred after 75 years of age, then if the benefit is taken as a pension income, the recipient will pay income tax on it. The other change, which will start next April, Howard, relates to UK registered pensions transferring to a qualifying recognised overseas pension scheme, or QROPS, which we've talked about before many times. But where it looks like there could be an overseas transfer charge applicable to any transfers from UK registered pension schemes to a QROPS over the value of £1 million. But we're waiting on further details on this. But for most, Howard, the key takeaway from the UK budget was that whilst it was billed as a budget encompassing tax cuts for workers, gave businesses permanent business incentives, offered rises in welfare payments and the state pension, which is the norm, Howard, in a run-up to a general election where the government wants to win re-election, I would say it was also notable for the fact that income tax thresholds and the UK inheritance tax nil rate allowance remains the same. And so as a whole, UK residents appear to be paying more tax than ever before. In fact, despite the new tax cuts, the Office for Budget Responsibility said that the overall burden of taxation in the UK was still due to rise in each of the next 5 years to reach a post-World War II high of 38% of GDP. So if the UK are seeing an increase in taxes just before an election, who knows how much it could be once the election has taken place in future budgets.
Well, one of the big stories last year was inflation. Are we ending 2023 in a much better place in terms of inflation?
Well, around a year ago, inflation in Europe was over 10%, but it's currently around the 2.4% mark, the lowest it's been for 2 years now. And this appears to be largely down to lower energy costs. In the US, inflation is currently above 3%, or just above 3%, compared to 7.75% last year. And in the UK, inflation is said to be around 4.6%, which is significantly down from the 11% it was a year ago. But the UK still has some way to go to get it down to its 2% target.
And what about interest rates? What's been happening this year?
For most of the year, we saw interest rates continue to rise as they did last year. At the beginning of this year, the EU interest rate was 2.5%, but over the year, it has risen to 4.5%. In the UK, it was 3.5% at the start of the year and it's currently 5.25%. And the Federal Reserve has kept the target range for the Federal Reserve funds at its 22-year high of 5.25 to 5.5%. This is 1% higher than what it was in January.
What do you expect from inflation and interest rates in 2024?
Well, I would say, Howard, that the general consensus is that inflation is expected to continue to fall, and interest rates will stay pretty much where they are until inflation falls further and is kept in check, certainly in the US and in the UK. There is the belief that if inflation continues to fall and stays around the 2 to 3% mark, then we could see interest rates being lowered, perhaps in the second half of next year. But 2 years ago, Howard, I recall doing a similar broadcast with yourself at this time of year, and at that point, inflation was running at around 5%, and most central banks were predicting inflation would be down to 2% by the following June 2022. But in fact, it rose to around 10%. Of course, the central banks couldn't possibly have predicted that Russia would invade the Ukraine. And that's the problem with making predictions. Who knows what could happen in the world tomorrow, let alone in a few months' time. So we'll have to see what next year will bring. But provided there's no sudden shocks or surprises, then we should see inflation continuing to fall and likewise a lowering of interest rates.
2022 wasn't a great year for stock markets and bonds. Has 2023 been any better?
Well, yeah, we saw stock markets lose 20% in 2022, but we also saw bond markets fall around 15%. And it's very, very rare to have a year where both bonds and equity markets fall at the same time over a one-year period. This is why investors tend to hold some money in both asset classes, because of the fact they tend to correlate negatively and provide diversification, i.e. when equities go down, bonds tend to go up and vice versa. In fact, Howard, both bonds and equities falling at the same time over a one-year period has only happened in 7 years in the last 150 years. And unfortunately, as interest rates have continued to rise this year, bonds have not shown any real recovery. We have, though, seen some stock markets recover some of their losses from 2022. For example, the S&P 500, the leading US index, is up 20% since the beginning of this year. I must add, though, that of the 500 companies in the S&P 500, seven companies now make up more than 25% of the value and have delivered more than 70% of the growth, whilst the other 493 companies in the index have generated only 7% of the growth. These seven companies making most of the gains are commonly referred to as the Magnificent Seven companies and include Apple, Amazon, Microsoft and Tesla. European stock markets have also risen roughly between 16 to 19% this year, depending upon the index, but the FTSE 100 has not yet returned anything over the year.
Considering bank deposit accounts are offering decent interest rates now, is the bank a good place to keep our savings safe for the time being?
Well, I think everyone should have a certain amount in cash. Typically, I would suggest 2 years' worth of income needs and an emergency cash amount. But with interest rates likely to go down next year, I would say that for anyone looking for returns which are better than inflation, then history still continues to demonstrate that bonds, equities, and property are the best protectors of your money against inflation, provided you take a medium to longer term view, i.e. more than 5 years. Also, if you're currently living in Spain and your money is in euros, even with interest rates where they currently are, you'll be very lucky to get more than 1% on your money with your local high street bank, assuming that you still have a branch in your local high street here in Spain. And whilst UK banks are offering higher rates, this does generally mean holding sterling, and holding money in a different currency to what you're spending is not ideal. Plus, you have the added complication of many UK banks no longer offering accounts to European residents.
Are there any other 2023 events or developments worth highlighting, Brett? Or any advice you want to give listeners in view of today's financial world and looking ahead to 2024?
Well, Howard, I would say that I think 2023 was certainly another challenging year to add to the previous 2020s. What with the pandemic in 2020, the ramifications of Brexit being felt in one form or another by many expats in 2021, the war in the Ukraine and the cost of living crisis, which started in 2022 and has continued into 2023, along with more recently the situation in the Middle East. But saying all that, Howard, I do remain a long-term optimist, whilst I think I'm a short-term pessimist, in that despite the atrocities we see in the Ukraine and in the Middle East, and despite a cost of living crisis many are experiencing in recent times, trying to take a longer-term view as a whole, I think it's important to remind ourselves that we are living longer, child mortality across the world is decreasing, and that despite the situation in the last few years, the number of people living in extreme poverty around the world is decreasing, and we do appear to be eradicating some very bad viruses and diseases which have caused much pain and suffering in the past. Looking ahead, we have elections in the UK and the US to look forward to, and before those in January, there is the elections in Taiwan, which could prove to be very important with regards to its relationship with China. at a more local level, it'll be interesting, Howard, to see what Pedro Sanchez does in his second term. And with regards to Partido Popular, who have won local elections in some of the autonomous regions we broadcast in. And it'll be interesting to see what further tax changes they make. Certainly the recent Spanish succession tax reforms in the regions I've outlined today in Spain will be welcome news for anyone living in these regions or planning to move there. But for any listeners who would like to review their estate planning for next year and take personalised advice based on their situation and objectives, they can of course contact their nearest local Blevins Franks office via our website.
And finally, what about Blevins Franks in 2024? Are you planning any spring seminars?
Oh, Howard, well, all I can think about right now is getting to Christmas and then lying down in a dark room for a few days. But no, just joking. I know we will be holding seminars in the new year, and once finalised, those dates will be announced to listeners. But for now, I'd just like to wish our listeners a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Likewise, and to you, all your friends and family as well, Brad.
Thank you, Howard, and yourselves.
And of course, the Blevins Franks website is at www.blevinsfranks.com. And just to remind listeners on TRE that we'll be back after the Christmas and New Year break on Sunday the 7th.